there is one who is mightier. A gift had become a burden. What was meant for rest had become a rule. So Jesus reminds them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And what religion had complicated, he made clear. Because the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. There is one who is mightier.
Do you remember the old blue laws? They were established in the colony of Virginia in 1610. They were designed to govern activities on Sunday morning. So they mandated worship attendance on Sunday morning. They also had laws that limited behavior on Sunday morning. Things you could do, things you could not do, things you could not purchase on Sunday. And there was a long list. Maybe you've seen some of those lists as it spread throughout all the colonies. Some of them expanded the list. They had to do with things that you could buy, certain things to trade, how far you could ride your horse on Sunday morning, things that you could buy that you maybe couldn't buy the rest of the week, and certainly things that were restricted. As recently as 1961, the Supreme Court upheld certain parts of the Blue Laws. They were good intentioned. Some of them I wish were frankly still in effect. The danger is when what we do to protect worship becomes a substitute for worship. Jesus is going to face that in Mark chapter 2. If you have your Bible, turn with me. We're going to complete Mark chapter 2 today as we continue in our series of this one who is mightier. We're going to see the picture of Jesus now as mightier than any of their religious practices that they added to the law. So now, we are going to see how Jesus stretches his disciples and challenges the Pharisees who had mastered the Sabbath but missed the Lord of the Sabbath. Turn with me in Mark chapter 2. We're going to look at a minor incident that has become elevated to a major problem. Mark chapter 2, beginning in verse 23, it happened. He was passing through the grain fields on Sabbath, and his disciples began to make their way along while picking heads of grain. The Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" He said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and how he and his companions became hungry? And he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest, and he ate consecrated bread, which is not lawful for anyone to eat except the priests. And he also gave it to those who were with him." And Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Now we find Jesus on Sabbath, working with his disciples through the region of Galilee, and they find their way through a grain field. And immediately, the text points out that the Pharisees were indignant with Jesus and his disciples because his disciples were doing something that they believed was not allowed on Sabbath day. They were wandering through the grain fields, plucking grain. Now, it goes something like this. Visualize the grain field in a good season that might grow as high as 4, sometimes 5 feet high. And they might pluck off the top of the grain, and they would rub them in their hands, and they would blow off the chaff, and they would eat it as a snack. In fact, Matthew, in his account of this episode, says they were hungry. So now, this is the Father who, just as in the feeding of the 5,000, is miraculously providing for the needs of his children. And the Pharisees observed. Now, here's the almost comical part of this story. How did the Pharisees know the disciples were plucking grain in the grain field? The grain fields are 4, maybe 5 feet tall. I don't know how tall the disciples were, probably shorter than I am. The only way the Pharisees could know what the disciples were doing was either they're following behind them to try to catch them doing something that they can object, or they're somehow hiding in the grain field to pop up and say, aha, anytime the disciples do something that they oppose. And now they've got them. They've discovered something that Jesus and his disciples are doing, but look at verse 24, it's worse than that. They are doing it on the Sabbath. Now for the next two passages, we're going to see Jesus on the Sabbath. Here's Jesus on Sabbath, and he and his disciples are walking through the grain field, and he has offended the religious leaders on the most holy day of the week. You see, Sabbath for the Pharisees was like the Oscars for them. This was the day they dressed up in their fancy clothes for everyone to see. They would parade throughout the marketplace, and for them, Sabbath was all about what you don't do. And on top of that, they were self-appointed religious police, and so they would then wander around the community highlighting people who were doing things that they objected to, and now they believe they've caught Jesus and his disciples in a mighty offense. Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath? So they're not content keeping the Sabbath traditions for themselves. They want to prevent everyone else from doing what they believe to be right or wrong on the Sabbath. So last week, we talked in the passage right before this about the religious leaders telling Jesus how to be religious. Today, we're going to see how Jesus explains religion to the religious leaders. So they've caught Jesus what they believe to be in a problem. And in Jesus' response to their question, he highlights three problems the Pharisees had. Problem number one, they misunderstood the scriptures they claimed to teach. Watch what Jesus said. Have you not read? Oh, that had to be an indictment for the religious leaders, didn't it? That's their job, right? To read Scripture. That's what they do. They know what the Bible says. Of course they've read Scripture. And so when Jesus says, have you not read, he's not insinuating they have not actually read the Bible. What he is saying to them is, you have not yet read the Bible with understanding. Because they've read the text, but they've missed the point. Now, It's a point that is still very often missed. I've read a number of commentaries on this passage, listened to a number of sermons on this passage, and very often, I believe people are fundamentally missing the point of what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying to the Pharisees, you have missed something. Now, very often when you hear people read this passage, they will defend the text something like this. Jesus is defending his disciples for doing something that is wrong. And to do that, he references David. Now, to get the context, you're going to have to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 21, and you find this episode where David is fleeing for his life from King Saul. David has already been anointed king by Samuel, but he is not yet reigning as king, and the one who is currently occupying the throne is trying to kill him to prevent David from succeeding him. David is fleeing from Saul, and he went to a place called Nob, which was where the synagogue was, and he encountered the priests and lied. Not once, but twice. His first lie was, Saul sent me. Well, certainly Saul did not send him. Saul was trying to kill him. So lie number one, David said, I'm on a mission from Saul. Lie number two came later when the priests asked him about certain conditions of him and those who were with him, and David blatantly lies a second time. And then on top of that, Jesus points out David did what was not lawful for anyone other than the priests to do. And Jesus uses the same word that the Pharisees used about the disciples. Jesus said, David did what was not lawful. And so very often you'll hear people saying, well, what Jesus is doing is he's sort of justifying a situational kind of ethic where if you have compassion on someone, it's okay if you violate the law. Now, I don't think that's what Jesus is saying. Now, I want you to take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 23. Deuteronomy 23, we're going to look at one verse, and I want you to see what I think is the pivotal point of the passage. Deuteronomy 23, verse 25, when you enter your neighbor's standing grain, you may pluck the heads of grain with your hand, but you may not use a sickle in your neighbor's standing grain. Now, what is the law saying? You can do exactly what the disciples were doing. It's very specific. You can do what the disciples were doing. You can't take a sickle. That's work. That's stealing from your neighbor. But you can, if you're passing through your neighbor's standing grain, which they were, you can do exactly what they did. So here's what Jesus is saying in the passage. Jesus is not defending David. He is saying what David did was unlawful. But he is pointing out that the disciples did not violate the law. You know what they did? They violated the Pharisees' tradition. That's the difference. Here's what Jesus is saying. You defend David who violated the law, but you criticize my disciples who have violated your tradition. So what Jesus is pointing out to them is, you have elevated your tradition above the law. That's why the succeeding two statements now make sense, because Jesus is not saying it's okay to disobey God if you do it for a good reason, or if you have compassion, or you're showing kindness, or you're just hungry. But I think what Jesus is saying is, they did not violate the law, but he's pointing out something about the Pharisees who have. They've elevated their tradition above the law. Mark 2 is not about breaking rules in favor of compassion, but it's about religious people who were following their own rules but missing God's heart. And so Jesus first appeals to Scripture. Have you ever noticed how many times Jesus appealed to Scripture? When Jesus was tempted, he appealed to Scripture. When Jesus was being tortured, he appealed to Scripture. When he had theological questions that were thrown at him, Jesus appealed to Scripture. So Jesus appeals to Scripture in front of the religious leaders, and he says, you are allowing David to have an excuse, even though he violated Scripture, but you condemn the disciples who have violated your tradition. So Jesus says, you have misunderstood the Scriptures you claim to teach. Let me tell you a second problem Jesus is pointing out for these religious leaders. Not only do they misunderstand Scripture, number two, they misunderstood religion they claim to defend. What the disciples did was not unlawful, but what they did was violating the Pharisees' traditions. And the Pharisees loved their traditions. They had restrictions on all different kinds of things, and especially on the Sabbath. They had 39 different kinds of ways someone could break the Sabbath. There were all kinds of rules that they added, all kinds of regulations that they have added to the Sabbath. For example, you could not write more than one letter. If you write A, B, you violated their tradition. Nor could you erase more than one letter. You violated their tradition. You could not sow, you could not kindle a fire, you could not extinguish a fire. You could not pick grain, you could not cook food, you could not kill an insect, you could not build, you could not move furniture, you could not complete a project, you could not walk more than 1,999 paces on the Sabbath. Or you've worked. Now, do you remember what God said? God had very clear guidelines about the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. And in the context of that, and in Exodus and in Deuteronomy, God reminded them, I, the Creator, rested on the Sabbath, and you were slaves, and God rescued you. And we discover remembering the Sabbath means remembering the one who created it. They had made protection of the Sabbath more important than the purpose of the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. And so the rabbis knew that command that God had given them, number 4 in the top 10, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. And so the rabbis said to themselves, how do we make sure nobody violates this command? So they build fences around commandment number 4, and then they built fences around their fences. And so many times they've added restrictions and traditions to the keeping of this command that it got to a point where people could no longer see the law for the fences. And that's where the tradition is. That's where the Pharisees were. They were so preoccupied with their rules, with their traditions, they lost sight of the gift, and they made it a work. And Jesus said, Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. They'd made their faith about protecting Sabbath. They'd made the goal about protecting Sabbath, and everything they could do was about keeping the rules to honor the Sabbath, and forgot why Sabbath was made in the first place. They forgot what God was trying to do in the Sabbath. They were not wrong in trying to honor God's law. They were wrong in adding to it. They were wrong in elevating their traditions to the level of Scripture. Now, do we ever do that? I toyed with the idea of titling my sermon today, Is It Wrong to Cut Your Grass on Sunday? I wonder if there are times when we have elevated tradition to the level of Scripture. Now, traditions are good and you should have them. You should hold them emphatically, but they are not to the level of Scripture. Do we add traditions that have to do with maybe what you do or what you wear or how you vote or worship styles or should you homeschool your children or Bible translations or should you put up a tree on Christmas or any other kinds of theological hair splitting that we might engage in and maybe in the process miss the point of what God was saying? And Jesus is saying to the religious leaders, the Torah is only rightly understood in Jesus. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. They misunderstood religion they were trying to defend. But thirdly, Jesus points out, they misunderstood the Messiah they claimed to anticipate. Jesus uses a title for himself. Did you see that? Son of Man. He's used that title often throughout his ministry. It has a root back in Daniel chapter 7 where the phrase Son of Man refers to the coming Messiah. So when Jesus uses the phrase Son of Man to refer to himself, he is unequivocally suggesting of himself, I am the one who will stand before the Ancient of Days. I am the one who's the Messiah. And he says the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Now, Jesus is pointing out something about their theology that is void. It is missing. Jesus said, I'm Lord, and I'm Lord of the Sabbath, which means, Jesus says, I have authority over the Sabbath. Now, how does Jesus have authority to overrule the traditions of the rabbis? Jesus says, because I have authority. You see, the question was not, are their traditions wrong? The question was not, what should they do or not do? The question is, who is the one who has authority? And Jesus said, I do. I'm the one who has authority. I'm the one who is the fulfillment of the law. I'm the one to whom the law has been pointing. And so Jesus says, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. Now, take your Bible, turn to the book of Colossians chapter 2. Look what the Apostle Paul is saying about Sabbath. Colossians 2, look at verses 16 and 17. Therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to festival or new moon or Sabbath. Things that are only a shadow of what is to come, the substance is in Christ. Jesus said, I'm Lord of the Sabbath. The Pharisees did not have a Sabbath problem. They have a Jesus problem. They understood the scriptures. They know what the Bible says. They just didn't understand the one to whom the Bible points. They honored religion, but they missed mercy. They protected Sabbath, but they rejected the Lord of the Sabbath. And Jesus says, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath and every other day. I have authority to determine what happens and to determine what does not happen. The point of the passage is not saying, be like the disciples or don't be like the Pharisees. The disciples are not the heroes of the passage, Jesus is. The focal point of this passage is pointing our attention to this one who is mightier. The passage, rightly understood, forces you and me to examine our own worship. Have we been careless in our interpretation of Scripture? Have we forgotten compassion in the face of genuine need? Have we defended our traditions over God's truth? Have we made faith selfish? Have we made faith more about preferences than about God's purposes? Have we made faith about religion and not relationship, about doing stuff over knowing Him? Have we forgotten that Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath? Because at the end of the day, Jesus is pointing out three very important things in our lives. Number one, God's Word is the standard for our lives. Have you not read? God's Word is the default. God's Word is the standard. God's Word is what we turn to, what we listen to, what we base our lives and our ministry on. We must be careful to know and carefully apply what the Word of God says. God's Word is the standard. Number two, preferences can be productive until they become pious. Preferences are handy. They're good things to have, and you should hold them. And we all have them. Families have them. Churches have them. We all have preferences and traditions to which we hold, and they are not necessarily wrong. The danger comes when my tradition that once served the mission has now replaced it. And I serve the tradition rather than the one who is the Lord of the Sabbath. Traditions become dangerous when we stop using them to help people follow Jesus and start using them to judge who is worthy to follow Him. Number three, we must be sure we do not miss Jesus while we are trying to serve Him. It's the irony of the passage, is it not? The Pharisees, who claim to be the most religious people in the community, who know what Scripture says, have somehow ignorantly missed the one who is the focus of Scripture. It's possible to go through life doing all kinds of busy religious things. You can be religiously active, biblically informed, and still miss Jesus in the process. You can be doing all kinds of good things, spiritual things, and somehow still miss Jesus. The Pharisees were not atheists. They were knowledgeable in the Bible. They knew what Jesus was saying. They believed in God. They believed in Scripture. They believed in holiness. They believed in a coming Messiah. But when the Messiah came, they rejected Him because Jesus did not fit their expectations. It's possible to know the Bible and miss the one who is Lord. And Jesus is highlighting something about their religion that they have missed, because the question is this: do I believe the right things, or have I surrendered to the one who is Lord over all things? Pharisees were right in very many things. They were right about Scripture. They were right about faith. They were right about honoring God's word. But they missed the most important thing. Don't miss Jesus in your activities of worship.